welcome to the Hearts Entwined podcast. In this podcast, we'll be having discussions around the secrets which attract lasting, healthy, fulfilling relationships, creating a healthy mindset, and what women should know and understand about men. Introducing your host, Lynn Smith, the Queen of Hearts, relationship expert, trainer, speaker, and best-selling author of The Cupid's Bow Technique. Lynn's mission is to have a positive impact in reducing divorce, domestic violence, and suicide.
Welcome to the Hearts Entwined podcast. This is your host, Lynn Smith, the Queen of Hearts. And today, listeners, we've got a really different, interesting topic around how to let people go when we're in a relationship which actually is probably not very fulfilling or maybe even really unhealthy. And today, my expert is Melody Murray. She's a licensed marriage and family therapist. So welcome, Melody.
Hi, Lynn. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Melody, how did you get involved in this type of business or consulting around marriage and family therapy? What drew you to it?
Very interesting progression. Before I became a therapist, I was a reality TV producer. Wow. And working in reality TV, you know, as a producer and a director, you kind of dip in and out of people's lives all the time. For weeks at a time, for months at a time, depending on the project. And I had a really great time being a producer and director. Of course, the money was great and the travel was fantastic. But the older I got, the more I realized I really wanted to dive into people's lives more than is afforded when you're doing that job. When you're doing that job, your job is to set up scenarios and make sure the camera catches the right angle. You're not intervening in any way. You're not having conversations about what their choices are. And that's what I feel. And that's what I realized I wanted to be able to do. I wanted to be able to, you know, affect change. I wanted to, you know, help people think and do things better. Because the subjects of the shows that I were working on, they were all young adults. And so I had questions where I would think, like, why are you having sex with that person? Why are you having another shot? Why are you dating that person? This person is incompatible with you. And you can say none of those things. And so I just had a moment where I said, you know, I need to do something else with my life. I want to do something else. And I landed on being a therapist because I was already in my own therapy.
Excellent. I love that. So really, I suppose you was inspired to want to make a difference in other people's lives.
Absolutely. And I had a therapist that made a huge difference in my own life, helped me come to grips with things that I was feeling that I hadn't even really recognized that were going on with me. And I felt so much better about myself, about my childhood, about how I was navigating relationships, and then just decided I want to be able to do that for others.
Well, that's excellent. I love that. So the topic of how to let people go if we're in a relationship, which obviously I think for most people we recognize well before we actually end up leaving a relationship that it's not going well. You know, it might just be unfulfilling. It might not necessarily be toxic or it just might be feel a little bit unhealthy because of some unacceptable behaviors going on here and there. So what specifically can you advise our audience if they feel that in that sort of position right now?
Be honest with yourself. Being honest with yourself is the most important thing you can do, whether you're talking about a relationship with a coworker, a neighbor, or your parents. You need to be honest with yourself about how you feel in those dynamics. Do you feel depleted? Do you feel used? Or do you feel encouraged, supported, and loved? Be honest with yourself. This isn't a time for sugarcoating. This is a time for you really to pay attention to how you feel when you, it's really important to pay attention to how you feel when you interact with someone. How do you feel leading up to a time spent with someone? How do you feel after you've spent time with someone? Pay attention to that, because that's going to let you know whether or not you feel valued and safe with someone. And then once you come to terms with that, then decide whether or not you really want to keep a place for this person in your life. And, you know, some people you can just walk away from. Like if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend situation, it's easier to just say we're done and walk away. But if it's someone that lives in your neighborhood, if it's someone that's in your family, it's harder to navigate that. And so that can tend to have people staying in situations or sacrificing themselves with people when they really don't want to anymore.
No, and it can be what I refer to as a sort of energy vampire situation where it leaves you totally drained and depleted being around that particular person or even a group of people.
Absolutely. And you've got to pay attention to that. Pay attention to what's going on with you as you're interacting with somebody, because you don't want to be on the get the short end of the stick. You don't want to be in a relationship with somebody where you're giving all the time and you're getting nothing but frustration.
So if we're in the scenario where, you're probably listening to this episode and thinking that this may apply to you and it is a relationship that you feel is salvageable, let's, talk around it being an intimate relationship where you're living with somebody. What would your advice be there, Melody?
Have a conversation. You know, these moments absolutely can be uncomfortable. They're going to be awkward, but I feel we're going to have fewer awkward conversations the more awkward conversations that we have. As strange as that sounds, and you will build a muscle to be able to hold that space, to be able to speak your mind, not feel bullied in any way, and resolve an issue. You have to talk. Don't expect anybody to read your mind. You're not a baby. Those days are over. When you're an adult person, even as a teenager, you've got to speak your mind, and so that you can make sure that people understand where you're coming from, so people can understand what you need, so people can understand what you don't want. That is the best way for that information to be transferred is directly from you, not hoping someone assumes things about you. So you have to talk. You have to express yourself, express how you've been feeling. But there are a few different ways to do that. And I think that whenever there comes a time where you have to have a hard conversation with somebody you care about, you have to be mindful of your own emotions and then also the other person. You know, unfortunately, we're in a society where there are more people who are uncomfortable with their emotions than not. And so for that, you know, for that reason, I feel that you should not lead with your emotions. I think you should just lead with the facts of the situation. And let's say it's partners that live under the same roof. You know, be honest about the situation. We've been living together for 5 years. You want to make sure that you're on the same page with somebody. Yes, we've been living here for 5 years. I pay all of the bills. When we moved in, we said we were going to split everything 50-50. Do you remember that? Yes. We haven't had sex in 4 of the 5 years. I wanted children. You don't want children. You know, make sure that you're on the same page before you dive in and ask someone to do something or change something. Make sure you're on the same page about the situation first. Don't lead with the emotion, because unfortunately, people get shut down. They shut down with emotion because they may not have been given enough training in order to communicate what they're feeling on the inside. So you don't want to immediately shut the conversation down by throwing something at them that's either, critical or accusatory, especially if you're not on the same page about what the issue is. So start with the facts, then come up with the emotion, but don't be accusatory. You always do this, or you never do that, or I feel I'm not good enough in this relationship. You don't want to lead in that direction. You don't want to lead with that. Someone is not responsible for how you feel. You're an adult. You're responsible for how you feel. And you don't want to throw up all of your stuff on the other person, too, because the goal of having a conversation is having a conversation and then having a resolution. It's not about a big argument. It's not a bit about a big fight. It is you want something to change within your relationship. So you need to stay as calm and be as confident as possible and lead with the facts, not with the emotions.
And then, how do you sort of introduce probably an emotion in there? Because you said that there is a time probably where you can express how you feel. How would you express that? What would be an example?
To go back to the relationship conversation, you could say something like, I feel sad that we aren't closer. I feel sad that there are things going on with me that I haven't felt comfortable talking to you about. I feel sad that, I may not have created a safe place for you to be 100% you, and I want to fix that. We need to fix our converse our we need to fix our communication. I feel scared that you're going to leave me. You have not touched me in years, and I feel scared that our relationship has ended and we haven't even talked about it, and we're under the same roof. I'm worried that I'm being taken advantage of. We were supposed to split the bills and we haven't split the bills at all. And I feel that I'm being taken advantage of because I'm footing every expense. So own your stuff, but don't project it on the other person.
No, great examples. Thank you for that. And what about in the scenario where you do feel like the relationship is done, you fell out of love with your partner, and how to have that conversation?
Again, be honest. Start with the facts of the situation. Basically, what you're doing is you're laying out a case. We don't have sex. We don't kiss each other. We don't sleep in the same bed because you want to make sure that the person understands why you're going to make a change in your relationship. You're basically pleading your case to an extent, not that you need permission from the other person. You don't, but you're leading with all the obvious things, because people can get into denial about certain things and they can turn that denial into victimhood. And so, leading with the facts of the situation is so that you can get around that being a mechanism of communication. Start with the facts of the situation. Make sure you guys are on the same page about that. And if you're not on the same page, then you need to back up. And instead of necessarily saying, because you may hear from your partner something that you just didn't realize, you may not even realize what's going on with them. And that is why they're doing or not doing something that is helping or hurting the relationship. So you have to talk about it. But it comes a time where relationships are supposed to be over. Life is temporary. And so it's important that you assert whatever change you need in the relationship, especially if it's an abusive relationship or a neglectful relationship, and you know for sure you want out, then you need to get out. But there's a way that you can do that that is respectful, but it doesn't necessarily mean the other person is going to meet you in that confident, respectful, mature place. So you make sure that you are owning your behavior and you're being as kind and as direct as possible. You can't control how they're going to respond, but you can control how you present information. And I say, just be honest and direct. If you know you want to get out of a relationship, you know that full stop. Don't waffle about well, let's give it 6 months. Let's give it until we have another baby. Well, hold on. Let me think about this. That's very unfair when you know for sure that you have your mind made up and the other person is, crossing their fingers and hoping for something that is not going to happen. That is not fair. Now, it can happen sometimes. I was talking to a client about this in a different situation. Dad was trying to borrow thousands of dollars from a client, and my client didn't want to give it. And my client just responded with, "Dad, let me take some time to think about this, Dad." He already knew he wasn't going to give it, but he needed to take that time for himself to build the confidence to be more direct. Take that time if you need to, but just be careful of what that means when it comes to a loving relationship where one person is still invested and you may not be so invested. So be careful, but you want to be direct because you don't want to lead someone on.
No, and I can understand, if you didn't want to, maybe if, on the back of the being somebody that's lent you've lent money to before and they've not repaid it, not want to be put in that position again. So yeah, that can be a very difficult conversation in any relationship dynamic, can't it?
Absolutely. And there's when those moments happen with people that are going to stay in your life, there's a certain mourning process that needs to occur. When someone you absolutely love and respect shows a side of themselves that doesn't align with your values, you need to mourn that. And that's the book that I wrote is called Mourning the Living. And it is about those adjustments that you need to make with people that you love, but you need to adjust your expectations so that you can maintain a relationship. But if you realize the other person isn't going to respect your boundaries or the adjustments that you're willing to make, if they're not able to meet you there, then you may have to cut that person off. And a part of the cutting off process is grieving what you had, grieving the good things that you will never experience anymore, mourning the expectations that you had about the relationship. It's really important to do that because we're multifaceted people that create multifaceted relationships, and not everything is 100% bad. It's just not. And you can help yourself heal when you pay attention to the good elements, because those are the things that you miss. Those are the things that bring us sadness. And so that's why it's important to pay attention to all the good things as well as the things that have caused you to stop a relationship, because that will help you understand the emotion that you have that doesn't just disappear as soon as you end something.
How true that is. Yeah, and I think, like you said, even if that relationship is been a good relationship, you can still mourn that relationship, even if it gets to a point where, you know what, we're not quite aligned now, and I don't want to continue this, but yeah, I need to take time out to go through that sort of what you described, that grieving process.
And it's an important process that it happens a lot and we don't talk about it. This happens quite a bit. Imagine parents when you have children and they go from being infants to toddlers, and then toddlers into school with other kids, and then your kid picks up in, things that they've been influenced by other kids. And let's say your kid starts cursing, or your kid starts stealing, or your kid is an artistic kid that starts playing a physical sport. You have to adjust your expectations of what your child is going to do. And we're constantly doing that because if we're lucky, we're constantly evolving. So when we evolve, our self-esteem rises, our confidence can rise. And so there are certain dynamics that were really unhealthy for us that when your confidence rises and your self-esteem rises, you can say from a place of stability, no more. We are not compatible, no more. And as sad as it can be to end certain relationships or adjust them, they're still necessary to honor the growth that you have made or the growth that the other person has made. They have a right to adjust who fits into their lives as they evolve.
Absolutely, and that can be very heartbreaking for one or both parties, can't it?
Absolutely. So, some people have abandonment issues. They can feel left behind because they haven't grown, they haven't evolved at the same pace. And whenever we're teenagers, I think that we really understand this, where you can have a friend that you've known for a really long time and they go hang out with friends in a different friend group. That kind of thing happens. There's a grieving that happens to that, and we kind of understand that, but I think it's harder for us to deal with that or accept that the older we get, but it's still the same process. And when it comes to a partnership, let's say a couple gets married and they get married at 25 years old, and that couple evolves throughout their marriage. They evolve as individuals, what they like, what they don't like, what they need, what they want. And then let's say you bring in different jobs, educational goals, career goals. Let's say you have to move. What if you decide to have children? All of those elements are going to change you. And, fingers crossed, you hope that you change with the person that you love. You hope that you change and you're going in the same direction at the same pace. But that's really, really difficult. And I think that when you put it in that way, that we are all transitioning, but we're hopeful when we're in relationship with people that we're transitioning in the same direction at the same pace so that we can stay in each other's lives. But it doesn't always happen that way. And so when people decide to change what drives them, what motivates them, what they want in their lives, you can take that very personally that you've been left behind, but it doesn't have to be a slam at your identity. And if you're good enough, there can just be an understanding that you know what? This person is growing, and that's a great thing. It's unfortunate we're growing in different relate in different directions, but it is what it is. Take the good for what it was, appreciate what you've had, and then move on to the next relationship with the confidence that you've come through something that was amazing for you for a specific amount of time. It doesn't have to mean it's a failure. Even somebody being married for 40 years and getting divorced, that doesn't mean it's a failure. 40 years with someone, how can that be considered a failure? That's absolutely amazing. So I think just redefining what certain things mean is a really important thing, that it does. You owe it to yourself to redefine what certain things mean so that you're not constantly feeling like you're a failure about things that don't, quote unquote, work out.
True. And I think, like you said, it's easier to accept that transition when it comes to our friendships. But when it comes to our intimate relationships, I think there's a lot of pressure and expectation for those intimate relationships to last a lifetime. And I think that's wrong in some ways because, you know, like you say, sometimes you do grow and you do grow together, but other times you don't.
Some people don't care about growing. They really don't. And that's a heartbreaking situation when you realize that you're in a relationship with someone that has zero desire to heal themselves. Many people don't. Many people don't have a desire to change anything about themselves. And when you become a growth mindset person, whenever you have the intention of growing and evolving, and you realize you're with someone who has a different intention, that's hard. That's really, really hard. And you have to decide whether or not you're going to stay at that level to accommodate that person, or do you make the decision that my growth is important to me and I have to let you go because I have to keep going.
I had that actually with my ex-husband. I was with in that relationship for 23 years, and it was a good, happy relationship. But you know, that personal growth journey that I was on, he didn't want to be a part of. And I just knew that, you know, at some point that would lead to the demise of the relationship, which it ultimately did, which was sad because it wasn't a toxic relationship. It wasn't an unhealthy relationship. It was just literally we ended up on different paths in terms of our personal growth.
You know what, Lynn? I think you bring up such an amazing point that's really, really important. The way I describe it is, you know, with my relationship, the same thing happened in my marriage. There was no major crime committed. There was no cheating. There was no toxicity. There was no harm done. We were just growing in different directions at different paces. That's all it was. And I think it speaks to you. I think it speaks to a level of personal confidence and self-esteem where you know what you need and you know when you're not going to get it. And so you need to do something differently. I feel that you have to understand that if your bar is so low, that there's so many other red flags that it takes someone harming you for you to walk away, that is a self-esteem issue within you that you've got to pay attention to. But it doesn't have to be a horrible situation for you to say, this doesn't work for me anymore.
No. Otherwise, I think you're just in a dynamic where you're just friends, you know, and I think in a love relationship, you want to be more than friends, you know, and
Absolutely.
just settling for an okay, satisfied life. But a lot of people do, don't they?
A lot of people do that, and I'm always very curious about those relationships. I had a conversation with somebody last year, and he was telling me that he had a friend, and he and his wife, they've been married for 25 years. They have not had sex for 10 years. And I was fascinated by that. I was fascinated by it because I'm a sexual person. And to have to shut down that side of myself because the other partner doesn't want that. Could I do that? I could not. That friend, he could. He decided to just shut down that side of him because the relationship fulfilled enough of him for him to stay. I could not do that. But that's the
No.
thing, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself about what your limits are. Where, like, what are you going to be able to like push against? What boundaries are you going to, allow to be pushed against? That's a really important thing to realize, like what you, where you're, what the, not the no-brainers. What is that? What is the phrase? Non-negotiables. It's important for each person to understand what their non-negotiables are and, express those things, but also giving yourself the leeway to know that as you evolve as a person, your boundaries should evolve. Your non-negotiables will evolve. Allow that. Give yourself permission to change what decisions that you've made when you were at a certain spot. You're evolving. You're going to make new decisions as you keep growing. So give yourself permission to change and let your boundaries change too.
Absolutely, 100% agree with that. So, in terms of how to let people go, if people are listening to this episode thinking, I'm actually in a position now where I'm thinking it might be the right decision, and we just as we was talking about there, it doesn't necessarily have to be a toxic or unhealthy relationship. It's just that you're growing in different paths. How do you, I suppose, initiate that type of conversation? Because for me, that didn't go well.
I think that you have to really pay attention to the history of your relationship to decide how and when to end the relationship. So, if that means you've got to set the scenario up that you have a conversation, but you know that this person is about to spend time with a great group of friends, they've got support. Create bookends to these conversations where you lead up to it in a certain way. And then once the conversation is over, then there's some type of band-aid that you put on the scenario. There's something so that if there are difficult, let me be more specific. Let's say that you're living with a partner and you're telling that partner, this isn't working anymore. It's time for me to move on. What you can do is if you decide you don't want to be in that relationship anymore, but you've been living together, where are you going to sleep that night? Is it safe for you to stay? Would it just be more comfortable for you to go sleep somewhere else that night? So prepare for that beforehand. And, if for the other person, prepare for that as well. If you know that you want to break up with someone, don't do that the night before a big family event where that person is going to be super upset, but now they're around their entire family weeping. Have some common sense when it comes to the timing of when you're going to have this conversation. Make sure the other person has access to people that can support them, because you don't want to run to that situation and it happens where you break up with someone and they process it with the person that's broken up with them, and that's inappropriate. That's an unnecessary burden, and it's an awkward, uncomfortable burden where I've broken your heart, but now I'm supposed to help you through it. But it's very common, because if you guys are best friends and they don't have any other friends, be prepared for that to happen. But you have to speak your mind and you have to be honest. Don't be mean, and don't put the other person in the position where everything is their fault, so then they feel attacked, because they're going to be hurt. They're going to be hurt, and you want this to be as smooth an exit as possible. So speak your mind, be as definitive as you can about what your next steps are, what you want them to be, but also leave space for negotiation. So let's say you've been splitting bills for years. You're going to, if the plan is that you were going to be the one to move out, understand that other person has to figure out how are they going to pay the bills in that place all by themselves. Do they need to find another place to live? Are you going to sell the place that you're in? Allowing space for this news is a shock to your partner. Don't expect that you're going to put your house on the market next week.
No, because
Be
you've had time to
mindful.
sort of breathe for the relationship, or at least I had for a long time prior to having that conversation. And obviously, like you said, for them, it's a big shock that feels like it's come out of the blue.
And you know what? That's a really important thing. I'm glad you said that. If you say to someone, hey, this isn't working, I need this to be over, and they're shocked by that, let that be confirmation. that you're on the right road, because people with their eyes open and people who are present can feel if a relationship isn't working. And if they're saying they're shocked by that, that is information that you needed. That's confirmation, possibly, for the decision that you're making that they haven't been dialed in. They haven't been paying attention to how you've been feeling or whatever it is their behavior effect on you is. That's a really important thing. If someone's blindsided by the end of a relationship, when you know all of these things have been occurring, but they haven't been paying attention.
Absolutely, 100% true. It's been a fascinating conversation, Melody, and probably need to expand a little bit more on another episode in the future. So, for those people listening that would like to connect with you, what's your best contact information?
Sure. You can find everything about me on my website. My website address is melodylmft.com. You can also find me on Instagram at melodylmft. And LMFT stands for Licensed Marriage and Family Therapist. So you can buy my book on my website. It's Mourning the Living, When the Loved One You've Lost is Still Here. And my next book is coming out in just a couple of months. It's called My Bounce Back Plan: How to Design Your Own Healing Formula. So it's about helping people get through these tough moments, whether it's a death or a breakup or even a job loss. This is something that you can take as a workbook, and it will help you grieve. It will help you heal through tough moments, and it's a living workbook, so it will evolve as you evolve.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Melody. Thank you for sharing your words of wisdom. Any final thoughts around how to let people go before we wrap up the episode?
Be kind. Be kind and connect with people in a way that you would want people to connect with you if the shoe was on the other foot.
100%. Absolutely. So thank you so much, and thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your personal experiences as well.
Absolutely. I'll do it again too.
So it just leaves me to say that true love starts with opening our hearts. And until next time, goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Hearts Entwined podcast. You can follow Lynn via the Facebook group Two Hearts Entwined, or search Lynn Smith, inspirational speaker, at LinkedIn, or email lynn@hearts-entwined.com. That's lyn@hearts-entwined.com. Remember, true love starts with opening our hearts.